This is Stateside. I'm April Bear. If you take notice of the birds in your neighborhood, or maybe you go out and do some bird watching on the weekends, you know that birds in Michigan are nesting right now and hatching a lot of new babies. There are birds of abundance, such as robins, that a lot of us have nesting on or near our homes. And then there are more rare birds that feel special to see, especially with their babies. Such is the case of the trumpeter swan.
They're just so graceful.
That's Lori Newland. She lives near a wetland in southeast Michigan where a pair of trumpeter swans just nurtured and hatched 8 fluffy gray baby cygnets.
Like, look at that little one. Sometimes I even come down and just check on them on the weekends if I'm not going, just because they make me feel good, you know? So...
The trumpeter swan is a native species that once numbered in the tens of thousands in the Great Lakes region. It was wiped out in Michigan more than 100 years ago, thanks to a decades-long intensive effort by the W.K. Kellogg Bird Sanctuary at Michigan State University. The trumpeter swan is gaining ground in Michigan. Here to tell us more is Sarah Depew-Bobby. She's an avian caretaker at the Kellogg Bird Sanctuary. Sarah, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having us. We're super excited to be a part of the program.
So I think when a lot of people think swan, they think of the all-white bird with black face markings, but the trumpeter swan looks a little different than that archetype, which is what we think of as another variety called the mute swan. What are the distinguishing features of a trumpeter so that we know them when we see them?
Well, the trumpeter swan is North America's heaviest flying bird, so they're a very large white bird. And you can distinguish them between the invasive mute swan because trumpeters have an all-black bill, and the mute swans have an orange bill with a black, we call it a knob, right at the base of their bill where the bill meets their head. So the mute swans have an orange bill, trumpeter swans have a black bill.
So the mute swan is an invasive species then?
It is. Mute swans were brought over with some of the first colonists in the 1800s, and they are actually more populous in a lot of states, including Michigan, than our native trumpeter swan.
Interesting. I know that trumpeters at certain times of year have orange or rust-colored markings on their heads and necks. Can you tell us when we could expect to see that?
Yeah, so the orange or rust coloring on their feathers, it actually comes from where they are feeding. So if there's a lot of iron in the water, it will color their feathers. Just like if you have really hard water at your house and maybe you get laundry stains on your clothes. And when they molt their feathers in the summer, then they will grow in white feathers again and then kind of start the process all over.
What are their dispositions like? I know mute swans can frankly be a little crabby sometimes. Are trumpeter swans very aggressive?
They can be, especially during nesting season. Most of the time, I wouldn't say that they're pretty docile, but they tend to be a little more peaceful than mute swans, perhaps. But definitely during nesting season, they're a really big bird, and they can be aggressive because they're protecting their babies. So if you think of a Canada goose, but multiply that 3 times bigger, that's kind of their disposition during nesting. But other times of the year, they're not a threat to really anyone or other animals. They will have territorial disputes, of course, because everyone likes their own space. But here at the sanctuary, we can have up to 100 trumpeter swans in summer, and everyone gets along pretty well, I would say.
They're so big. What can you tell us about their place in the ecosystem, what trumpeter swans feed on, and maybe what their who their predators are?
So their predators can be larger carnivores. Historically, we had wolves in lower Michigan, which we don't anymore. But coyotes can still be a threat. If the swan has an illness, even foxes might try to take a trumpeter swan. But they are a really big bird. And their main threats right now are, of course, humans. Anything from their loss of habitat. Wetlands are really important for our ecosystems, especially in Michigan, and they really rely on that. They eat a lot of aquatic vegetation. And one of the things that will happen is they will eat that vegetation that's in the soil of the water and they swallow it, which could include lead pellets. So lead poisoning is actually a big threat to trumpeter swans even now. It's one of their biggest threats in the wild.
Can you tell us the story of trumpeter swans in the region and sort of when it was that they were wiped out?
Yeah, so by 1959, actually, there were only 69 trumpeter swans in the United States that were known in the United States. And by then, people realized that this was a species in peril. They were endangered. And they were actually added to the first draft of the Endangered Species Act, which was 1966, the first draft. But then 2 years later, there was a statewide survey in Alaska which found almost 3,000 swans. So that increased the North American population to almost 3,000 trumpeter swans. And they decided, well, there seems to be enough swans, so we don't need to add it to our National Endangered Species Act. But a lot of states added it and still added it to their list. In fact, Michigan still lists the trumpeter swan as a threatened species.
When we talk about the trumpeter swan's decline in Michigan, I mean, that wasn't just lead poisoning, though, right? I mean, they were very widely hunted.
Oh, they were. So trumpeter swans were very prized for their feathers, anything from hats for women to powder puffs. In the early 1900s and late 1800s, we didn't have the synthetic powder puffs that we do now. So their down and their very fluffy feathers were really prized for that. And actually, John James Audubon, who is the namesake of the Audubon Society, he actually preferred trumpeter swan feathers for his quills. So there's, even in the Audubon Society, there's a history there of taking those swan feathers to use for other purposes.
Yikes. There was a wildlife biologist at the Kellogg Bird Sanctuary in the 1980s named Joe Johnson. And you mentioned the fact that there was this really healthy trumpeter swan population in Alaska. And Joe Johnson was the guy who brought trumpeter eggs from Alaska back to Michigan to try to restart the population. I want to play a little bit of audio. Here he is talking with Michigan Radio's Lester Graham back in the year 2000 about the surprising success of the trumpeter swan breeding program. Let's listen.
We thought if each pair produced two young per effort that we would be doing real well. That's basically their productivity in Alaska. But if we think of the Great Lakes as sort of the premier trumpeter swan habitat because of the length of our growing season, the productivity of our soils and our wetlands, then it's not a surprise that they're producing, on average, three young per nesting effort.
I mean, he did sort of lay it out there for us. But Sarah, can you think of other factors that led to the success of the trumpeter swan breeding program here?
Well, I think one of the biggest factors is where we are. The Kellogg Bird Sanctuary is located right on the Mississippi Flyway, so it's an important migration route for many species, not just trumpeter swans, but also native ducks. And from here, just having Joe's expertise, having the help of other agencies like DNR and other biologists, they were able to work out all of those problems over a series of a few years. And from here, all of the trumpeter swan cygnets were then released throughout Michigan. So it was a very successful program.
When Lester talked to Joe Johnson 20 years ago, they estimated more than 2,000 trumpeters in the Great Lakes region. How many do you figure we have today?
Well, the last statewide survey was in 2015. The DNR tries to do a survey every 5 years, and that one gave us an estimate of 3,000 trumpeter swans in the state of Michigan, which is a pretty significant increase from having zero in the 1980s.
That's amazing. Is the population large enough now that we might consider it close to what would have been normal for trumpeter swans had they not been wiped out?
It is still a fraction of what it historically was. And there are differing reports and estimates of what it might have been. But in the days where companies were taking 10,000 or 20,000 swans a year to make hats and powder puffs, the total North American population right now is hovering about 63,000. So we're still just a fraction of what it historically was. And there are states that are still doing reintroduction programs. I know that Iowa just finished theirs. They just had last week a release of swans. And Oregon, who we sent a swan to a couple years ago to help with their program, they are still in the midst of their trumpeter swan reintroduction as well.
Sarah, we've heard reports over the years of trumpeter swans being attacked or maimed or otherwise taken by people, even though they are a protected species. What would you say the biggest hurdles are to the birds these days?
Well, the biggest threat, of course, is lead poisoning. As we've seen in Michigan in the past few years, we know that lead is hazardous to all living things. And trumpeter swans especially, even if they're going into a new area, there might have been historic fishing or hunting in that area, and they can ingest those lead pellets. And even just a couple pellets in their system can be catastrophic for that bird. Of course, misidentification during hunting. Some people think that they are snow geese when they are flying, but of course they're much, much bigger than snow geese. And power lines actually can be hazardous to these swans as well, because as they're flying, they're very big birds, and as they're flying, they may not see those lines. So above ground power lines can be dangerous to them as well.
That said, with all of those hazards, which are considerable, do you think we're on an upward trajectory that will continue?
I think that we're on a path where the trumpeter swans, they continue to increase, but those threats are hazardous enough where you do worry about the future of the species if we don't get rid of the lead or help protect them by informing hunters of what the trumpeter swan looks like.
Sarah Depew-Bobby is an avian caretaker at the Kellogg Bird Sanctuary. Sarah, thanks for bringing us up to speed on where the trumpeters stand right now. We appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you. I love trumpeter swans, and I love talking to people about them.